aunt silently brushing her mother's gold-brown hair. But she has no ambition. She does not dream beyond her garden and pretty clothes. She will be an asset on the marriage market for us one day, if that beauty holds. But it will be our own maneuverings, Nesta, not hers, that win us an advantageous match. Nesta had been 12 at the time, Elaine barely 11. She'd absorbed every word of her mother's scheming, plans for futures that had never come to pass. "We shall have to petition your father to go to the continent when the time is right," her mother had often said. "There are no men here worthy of either of you." Vera hadn't even been considered at that point, a sullen, strange child whom her mother ignored. Human royalty rules there still, lords and dukes and princes, but their wealth is tapped out, many of their estates nearing ruin. Two beautiful ladies with a king's fortune could go far. "Might I marry a prince?" Nesta had asked. Her mother had only smiled. Nesta shook her head clear of the memories and said at last, "I don't have any choice but to be here, so I don't see how I could be enjoying myself." Elaine wrung her slender fingers, nails kept trimmed short for her work in the gardens. "I know the circumstances for your coming here were awful, Nesta, but it doesn't mean you need to be so miserable about it." "I sat by your side for weeks," Nesta said flatly. "Weeks, while you wasted away refusing food and drink, while you appeared to hope you'd just wither and die." Elaine flinched, but Nesta couldn't stop the words from pouring out. "No one suggested you either shape up or be shipped back to the human lands." Elaine, surprisingly, held her ground. "I wasn't drinking myself into oblivion and doing those other things."
"Fucking strangers?"
Elaine flinched again, her face coloring. Nesta snorted. "You're living amongst beings who have none of our human primness, you know." Elaine squared her shoulders again, just as Nesta added, "It's not like you and Grayson didn't act on your feelings." It was a low blow, but Nesta didn't care. She knew Elaine had given her maidenhead to Grayson a month before they'd been turned fey. Elaine had been glowing the next morning. Elaine cocked her head. Didn't dissolve into the crying mess she usually became when Grayson came up. Instead, she said, "You're angry with me." "Fine then. She could be direct too." Nesta shot back. "For packing my things while Rhysand and Feyre told me I'm a worthless pile of shit?" "Yes." Elaine crossed her arms and said calmly, sadly, "Feyre warned me this might happen." The words struck Nesta like a slap. They'd spoken of her, her behavior, her attitude. Elaine and Feyre. That was the new status of things, the bond Elaine had chosen. It was inevitable, Nesta supposed, stomach churning. She was the monster. Why shouldn't the two of them band together and shove her out? Even if she'd foolishly believed that Elaine had always seen every horrible part of her and decided to stick by her anyway. "I still wanted to come." Elaine went on with that focused calm, the quiet steel building in her voice. "I wanted to see you, to explain." Elaine had chosen Feyre, chosen her perfect little world. Amryn hadn't been any different. Nesta's spine stiffened. "There is nothing to explain." Elaine held up her hands. "We did this because we love you."
"Spare me the bullshit, please."
Elaine stepped closer, brown eyes wide, undoubtedly wholly convinced of her own innocence, her innate goodness. "It's the truth. We did this because we love you and worry for you. And if Father were here—"
"Don't ever mention him."
Nesta bared her teeth, but kept her voice low. "Never fucking mention him again." She forbade her leash to slip completely, but she felt it, the stirring of that terrible beast inside her, felt its power surge, blazing yet cold. She lunged for it, shoving it down, down, down. But it was too late. Elaine's gasp confirmed that Nesta's eyes had gone to silver fire, as Cassian had described it. But Nesta smothered the fire in her darkness until she was cold and empty and still once more. Pain slowly washed over Elaine's face, and understanding. "Is that what this is all about, Father?" Nesta pointed to the door, fingers shaking with the effort of keeping that writhing power at bay. Each word from Elaine's mouth threatened to undo her restraint. "Get out!" Silver lined Elaine's eyes, but her voice remained steady, sure. There was nothing that could have been done to save him, Nesta. The words were kindling. Elaine had accepted his death as inevitable. She hadn't bothered to fight for him, as if he hadn't been worth the effort, precisely as Nesta knew she herself wasn't worth the effort. This time, Nesta didn't stop the power from shining in her eyes. She shook so violently she had to fist her hands. "You tell yourself, there's nothing that could have been done, because it's unbearable to think that you could have saved him, if you'd only deigned to show up a few minutes earlier." The lie was bitter in her mouth. It wasn't Elaine's fault their father had died. No, that was entirely Nesta's own fault. But if Elaine was so determined to root out the good in her, then she'd show her sister how ugly she could be. Let a fraction of this agony rip into her. This was why Elaine had chosen Feyre. This! Feyre had rescued Elaine time and again. But Nesta had sat by, armed only with her viper's tongue. Sat by when they starved. Sat by when Hybern stole them away and shoved them into the cauldron. Sat by when Elaine had been kidnapped. And when their father had been in Hybern's grip, she had done nothing. Nothing to save him, either. Fear had frozen her, blanketing her mind, and she'd let it do so, let it master her, so that by the time her father's neck had snapped, it had been too late, and entirely her fault. Why wouldn't Elaine choose Feyre? Elaine stiffened, but refused to balk from whatever she beheld in Nesta's gaze. "You think I'm to blame for his death?" Challenge filled each word. Challenge from Elaine, of all people. No one but the King of Hybern is to blame for that. The quaver in her voice belied her firm words. Nesta knew she'd hit her mark. She opened her mouth, but couldn't continue. Enough! She had said enough. That fast, the power in her receded, vanishing into smoke on the wind, leaving only exhaustion weighing her bones, her breath. "It doesn't matter what I think. Go back to Feyre and your little garden." Even during their squabbles in the cottage, fighting over who got clothes or boots or ribbons, it had never been like this. Those fights had been petty, born of misery and discomfort. This was a different beast entirely, from a place as dark as the gloom at the base of the library. Elaine headed for the doors, purple dress sweeping behind her. "Cassian said he thought the training was helping," she murmured, more to herself than to Nesta. "Sorry to disappoint you." Nesta slammed the doors so hard they rattled. Silence filled the room. She didn't twist toward the windows to see who might fly past with Elaine, who'd be witness to the tears Elaine would likely shed. Nesta slid into one of the armchairs before the unlit fireplace and stared at nothing. She didn't stop the wolves when they gathered around her again.
hateful, razor-sharp truths on their red tongues. She didn't stop them as they began to rend her apart. When Elaine burst into the dining room of the house, Cassian and Rhys were shaking off the frigid air that had been howling through Windhaven. Her brown eyes were bright with tears, but she kept her chin high. "I want to go home," she said, voice wobbling slightly. Cassian looked at Rhys, who'd dropped off the middle Archeron sister before retrieving Cassian from Windhaven. He'd wanted to see for himself how ready the Illyrians were to fight. That Rhys had found nothing lacking both elated Cassian and filled him with dread. If war began once more, how many would die? It was a soldier's lot in life to fight, to march with death beside him, and he had led males into battle multiple times. Yet, how many promises had he foolishly made to the families of those who'd fallen in the recent war that the peace would last for a while? How many more families would he have to comfort? He didn't know why it was different this time, why it weighed so heavily. But while Rhys and Devlin had been speaking, Cassian had been staring at the children of Windhaven, wondering how many would lose their fathers. Cassian cast the memory aside as Rhys surveyed Elaine, his violet blue eyes missing nothing. "What happened?" When Rhys spoke like that, it was more of a command than a question. Elaine waved a hand in dismissal before flinging open the veranda doors and striding into the open air. "Elaine," Rhys said, as he and Cassian trailed her into the dying light. Elaine stood by the rail, the breeze caressing her hair. "She's not getting any better. She's not even trying." She wrapped her arms around herself and stared toward the distant sea. Rhys turned to him, his face grave. "Pharaoh warned her." Cassian swore softly. "Nesta is making progress. I know she is. Something set her off," he added, because Rhys was still looking like cold death personified. "It'll take time. Maybe no more visits from her sisters for the time being, at least not without her permission." He didn't want to isolate Nesta, not at all. "If Elaine wants to see her again, let me ask Nesta first." Rhys's voice slithered like liquid night.
"What about Pharaoh?"
"She doesn't want Pharaoh here." Power rumbled through Rhys, guttering the stars in his eyes. "Calm the fuck down," Cassian snapped. "They have their own shit to sort out. You threatening to obliterate Nesta every time it comes up doesn't help." Rhys held his stare, the inherent dominance in it like the force of a tidal wave. But Cassian weathered it, let it wash over him. Then Rhys shook his head and said to Elaine, "I'll fly you home." Elaine didn't object when Rhys scooped her up and launched into the red and pink-stained sky. When they were a speck of black and purple over the rooftops, Rhys sweeping along the gilded river as if giving Elaine a scenic tour, then, and only then, did Cassian enter the house. He stormed across the dining room and into the hallway. He charged down the stairs, his feet eating every inch of distance, until he flung open the family library's doors.
"What the fuck happened?"
Nesta was sitting in an armchair before the dark fireplace, fingers digging into the rolled arms of the seat. A queen on a quilted throne. "I don't want to talk to you," was all she said. His heart thundered, his chest heaving as if he'd run a mile.
"What did you say to Elaine?"
She leaned forward to peer at him, then rose to her feet, a pillar of steel and flame, her lips curling back from her teeth.
"Of course you'd assume I'm the one at fault."
She prowled closer, her eyes burning with cold fire. "Always defending sweet, innocent Elaine." He crossed his arms, letting her get as close to him as she wanted.
Like hell would he yield one step to her. "I'll remind you that you've been the chief defender of sweet, innocent Elaine until recently." He'd witnessed her go toe-to-toe with Faye, capable of slaughtering her without giving it a thought, all for her sister. Nesta only simmered, near shaking with rage. Or cold.
Cauldron, it was cold in here. Only the heated floors offered any reprieve.
Fire, he said, and the house obeyed. A great blaze flared to life in the hearth behind him.
No fire, she said, focused upon Cassian, though her words were not to him.
The house seemed to ignore her.
No fire, she ordered.
He could have sworn she blanched slightly. For a heartbeat, he was again in Reese's mother's house in Windhaven. She'd been staring and staring into the fire, as if speaking to it, as if unaware that even he was there. The fire crackled and popped. Nesta seethed into the open air.
I said!
A log cracked, as if the house were merrily ignoring her, adding heat to the flame. But Nesta flinched. Barely a blink and half a shudder, but her entire body went rigid. Fear and dread flashed over her features, then vanished. Strange. Whatever curiosity Nesta noted on his face had her bristling again before launching toward the open doors of the library.
Where are you going?
He demanded, unable to keep the temper from his voice.
Out.
She hit the hall and aimed for the stairwell. Cassian stalked after her, a snarl ripping from his throat. He quickly closed the distance between them.
Leave me alone, she bit out.
What's the plan, Ness?
He trailed her to the lowest level of the house and the stairwell halfway down the corridor.
You tear into the people who love you until they eventually give up and leave you alone? Is that what you want?
She yanked on the handle of the ancient door and threw him a withering glare over a shoulder. She opened her mouth, then shut it against whatever had been about to come out, as if she'd bank herself for him, pity him, spare him, like he needed shielding from her.
Say it,
he hissed.
Just fucking say it!
Nesta's gaze lit with that silver fire. Her nose crinkled with animalistic rage. The siphons atop his hands warmed, readying for an enemy he refused to acknowledge. Her eyes slid down to the red stones. And when they again lifted to his face, the unholy fire in her stare was gone, replaced by something so dead and vacant. It was like gazing into the unseeing eyes of a fallen soldier on a battlefield. He'd seen crows pick at eyes that dead. Nesta said nothing as she turned back to the stairwell and began her descent. Chapter 18. There was only the red stone of the stairwell and her jagged breathing. And the knives that had turned inward and sliced and sliced. The walls pushing in, her legs burning with each step downward. She didn't want to be in her head, didn't want to be in her body. Wanted the beating of drums and the riotous song of a fiddle to fill her with sound, to silence any thought. Wanted to find a bottle of wine and drink deep, let the wine pull her out of herself. Set her mind drifting and numb. Down and down and down. Around and around and around. Nesta passed the step with her burning handprint. Passed step 250, 300, 500, 800. It was on step 803 that her legs began to wobble. The roaring in her head dulled as she focused upon keeping upright. By step 1000, she had stopped entirely. There was only spinning silence. Nesta closed her eyes and leaned her brow into the cool stone to her right, bringing up an arm to rest against it, as if she were clinging tight to a lover. She could have sworn a heartbeat thumped within the stone.
as surely as if it beat within a chest beneath her ear. It was her own pounding blood, she told herself, even as she clung to the wall, that heartbeat. She let her breathing slow in and out of her, let the trembling of her body ease. The heartbeat in the snow faded. The wall turned icy beneath her flushed cheek, rough against her fingertips. She began the walk upward, one step after another, thighs straining, knees groaning, chest on fire. Her head had emptied by the time she half crawled up the last 20 steps. She'd had to stop 5 times to rest. 5 times! Only for as long as it took to catch her breath and steady herself, just until the roaring threatened to press in again. She was wrung out, utterly empty, by the time she arrived back at the landing. Cassian leaned against the opposite wall, his face grave. "I don't feel like sparring with you," she said flatly, too drained to be angry. She knew she could call in their bargain to order him to fly her down to the city, but she didn't possess the energy to even bother. "Good night." He moved into her path, wings blocking her. "What step did you reach this time?" As if it mattered. 1,000. Her legs throbbed and throbbed. "Impressive." Nesta lifted her stare to his face and found him earnest. She didn't bother to hide the weariness weighing on every part of her. She made to walk past him, but he didn't lower his wings. Short of punching her way through, she wasn't getting by. "What?"
"What set you off today?"
"Everything." She didn't want to say more.
"What did Elaine say to you?"
She couldn't revisit that conversation, couldn't talk about her father or his death or any of it, so she shut her heavy eyes. "Why don't they sign up for training?"
He knew who she meant. "Maybe they're not ready."
"I thought they'd sign up."
"Is that what you're upset about?"
His question was so gentle, so sad. Nesta opened her eyes. "Some of them have been here for hundreds of years and still haven't been able to come back from what they endured. So what hope do I have?" He rubbed at his shoulder as if it were sore.
"We've been working for barely 2 weeks, Nesta. Physically, you might be seeing changes, but what's happening in your mind, your heart, will take far longer than that. Fuck, it took Feyre months."
"I don't want to hear about Feyre and her special journey. I don't want to hear about Rhys's journey, or Morrigan's, or anyone's."
"Why?"
The words, the rage built again. She refused to speak, instead focusing on tamping down that power inside her until it didn't so much as murmur.
"Why?"
he pushed.
"Because I don't," she snapped. "Put those bat wings away."
Cassian obeyed, but stepped closer, towering over her.
"Then I'll tell you about my special journey, Ness."
His tone was icy in a way she'd never heard.
"No. I slaughtered every person who hurt my mother."
She blinked up at him, the weight in her vanishing at the vicious words. Cassian's face held only ancient rage.
"When I was old and strong enough, I went back to the village where I was born, where I'd been ripped from her arms, and I learned that she was dead. And there was no one I could fight to change that. They refused to tell me where they'd buried her. One of the females hinted that they'd dumped her off the cliff."
Horror and something like pain went through her. His eyes flared with cold light.
"So I destroyed them. Anyone who wasn't responsible, children and some females and the elderly, I let them leave. But anyone who had played a role in her suffering, I made them suffer in return. Rhys and Asriel helped me, found the piece of shit who'd sired me. I let my brothers tear him apart before I finished him.
The words hung between them. He said with soft fury,
It took me 10 years before I was able to face it, what I'd done to those people and what I'd lost. 10 years.
He was trembling, but not with fear.
So, if you want to take 10 years to face whatever's eating you alive from the inside out, go ahead. You want to take 20 years? Go ahead.
Silence fell, interrupted only by their uneven panting. Nesta breathed. Do you regret what you did?
No.
Such unflinching honesty, the same honesty that now assessed her, marking every roaring, sharp piece of her. Nesta dipped her head, as if it'd stop him from seeing everything. Warm, strong fingers cupped her chin, calluses scraping against her skin. She let him lift her head. She hadn't realized he'd come closer, that only inches separated them. Unless she'd been the one to drift toward him, drawn by each brutal word. Cassian kept his light grip on her chin.
Whatever you need to throw at me, I can take it. I won't break.
No challenge laced the words, only a plea.
You don't understand, she said, voice rasping. I am not like you and the others.
That's never bothered me one bit.
He lowered his hand from her chin. She straightened.
It should.
You say that like you want it to bother me.
It bothers everyone. Even oh-so-special Rhysand.
His teeth flashed, any semblance of softness gone.
I told you once, and I'll say it again. Don't take that snide fucking tone when you speak about him. He's not my High Lord. I may speak of him as I wish.
She made to step away, but he gripped her wrists, holding her in place.
Let go!
Make me. Use that training and make me.
Hot temper poured in.
You're an arrogant bastard.
And you're a haughty witch. We're evenly matched.
She snarled.
Let go.
Cassian snorted, but obeyed, turning his face as he backed a step away. And it was the light of victory in his eyes, the clear sense that he believed he'd somehow unnerved her and won this fight, that had her grabbing the front of his leather jacket. Nesta told herself it was to knock that smirk off his face, that she curled her fingers in the leather and hauled her mouth to his. Chapter 19. For a heartbeat, there was only the warmth of Cassian's mouth, the press of his body, the stiffness in his every trembling muscle as Nesta slanted her lips over his, rising onto her toes. She'd kissed him with her eyes open so she could see precisely how his own widened. Nesta pulled away a moment later and found his eyes still wide, his breathing harsh. She laughed softly, making to unhook her fingers from his jacket and strut down the hall. She only got as far as lowering her right hand before he surged forward to kiss her back. The force of that kiss knocked them toward the wall, the stone slamming into her shoulders as all of him lined up against all of her, a hand sliding into her hair while the other gripped her hip. The moment Nesta hit the wall, the moment Cassian enveloped her, it destroyed any illusion of restraint. She opened her mouth, and his tongue swept in, the kiss punishing and savage. And the taste of him, like snow-kissed wind and crackling embers. She moaned, unable to help herself. It seemed that sound was his undoing, for the fingers in her hair dug into her scalp, angling her head so he could better taste her, claim her,
Her hands roved over his muscled chest, desperate for any skin, anything to touch as their tongues met and parted. As he licked the roof of her mouth, as he slid his tongue over her teeth, she met him stroke for stroke, and all sense of self went flying from her. She plunged her fingers into his hair, and it was as soft as she'd imagined, the strands like silk against her skin. Every hateful thought eddied from her mind. She gave herself to the distraction, welcomed it with open arms, let the kiss burn through all of it. There was only his mouth and his tongue and his teeth, licking and tasting and biting. There was only the strength of his body pressing against hers, but not nearly close enough. He slid his hands around her, grasping her ass, and lifted her into the air. She wrapped her legs around his middle and moaned again as he pressed himself beneath her thighs. She needed this temporary reprieve from her mind, that thing burning deep inside her, the memories that hounded her. She needed this, needed him. Cassian ground into her and groaned into her mouth at the first push of his hips. She arched her back at that deep-throated sound, baring her neck to him. He seized on it, dragging his mouth from hers. His tongue traced a line up the column of her neck, dragging heat in its wake, and reached that spot just below her ear that had her clenching, had her whimpering. He let out a laugh against her skin. "Like that?" he murmured, and licked it again. Her breasts ached, and she moved against him, seeking any contact with his chest, any bit of friction. But Cassian buried his face against her neck, teeth clamping down lightly atop her fluttering pulse. The slight hurt set her panting. The scrape of his tongue over the spot had her eyes rolling back in her head. He pulled his head from her neck, though, and Nesta had never been laid so bare as she was while he ground his hips into her again and watched her writhe. A dark smile graced his mouth.
"So responsive,"
he purred in a voice she'd never heard, but knew she'd crawl to hear again. He drove his hips between hers, a lazy, thorough push of the hardness of him into the throbbing ache of her. She scrambled to regain any sense of control, of sanity, found herself wanting to hand it all over to him, to let him touch and touch and touch her, lick and suckle and fill her. Cassian growled, as if he read that in her stare, and kissed her again. Their tongues tangled, their bodies pressed so tightly she could feel his heartbeat against her chest. He tasted her thoroughly, withdrew, and tasted her again, like he was learning every place in her mouth. She had to feel his skin, had to feel the hardness pushing into her with her hands, her mouth, her body. She'd go mad if she didn't, go mad if she didn't get these clothes off, go mad if he stopped kissing her. Nesta wedged her hand between their bodies, seeking him out. Cassian groaned again, long and low, as her hand cupped him through the leather of his pants. The breath stole out of her, the sheer size of him. Her mouth watered. She was aching, so wet that every stitch of the seam down the center of her pants was torture. His kiss turned deeper, wilder, and she grappled with the laces and buttons of his pants. There were so many, she didn't know where to find the ones to undo them, her fingertips ripping at every loop, nearly clawing to get him free. Cassian's panting caressed her skin as he nipped at her bottom lip, her ear, her jaw,
Her own staccato breathing echoed it, fire roaring in her blood, and he captured her mouth again, moaning into her as she gave up on the laces and buttons and laid her hand flat against him. He buckled as she rubbed the heel of her palm down his length, marveling at each inch. He tore his mouth from hers.
If you keep doing that, I'll...
Nesta did it again, dragging the heel of her palm upward toward the tip she knew pressed against his lower abdomen. His hips arced toward her, and he tilted back his head, exposing the strong column of his throat. She learned the shape of him through his pants and pressed her hand harder, working him. He gritted his teeth, chest heaving like a bellows, and the sight of him coming undone had her leaning forward, had her clamping her teeth onto his neck. Just as she rubbed him again, harder and rougher, he hissed. With her name on his lips, his hips thrust into her hand with a strength that made her core throb to the point of pain, imagining that force, that size and heat buried deep in her. Another punishing rub of her palm, a scrape of teeth at his neck, and Cassian erupted, his wings tucked in tight as he came, and each spurt of his cock shuddered through his pants, echoing along her hand as she stroked and stroked him. When Cassian had stilled, when he was shaking, only then did Nesta remove her face from his neck. His hazel eyes were wide enough that the whites shone around them. A blush stained his golden cheeks, so enticing that she nearly leaned forward to lick that too. But he remained gaping, like he'd realized what he'd done and regretted it. Every bit of desire, of blessed distraction within her, winked out. Nesta shoved at his chest, and he immediately let go, almost dropping her to the floor as their bodies pulled apart. She didn't wait to hear his words of regret, that this had been a mistake. She wouldn't let him hold that power over her, so Nesta curled her lips in a cold, cruel smile and said as she left, "Someone's quick off the mark." Cassian couldn't look Asriel in the face at breakfast the next morning. His brother had returned late last night, refused to say anything about what he'd found regarding Briallen, and only insisted that today they'd all meet at the river house and learn of it together. Cassian hadn't cared. He'd barely listened to Asriel asking about training. He'd come in his pants after a few touches from Nesta, soaking himself like he was no better than he'd been in his youth. But the moment she'd kissed him in the hall, he'd lost all semblance of sanity. He'd turned into something just short of an animal, licking and biting at her neck, unable to think clearly beyond the base instinct to claim. The taste of her had been like fire and steel and a winter sunrise. That had been just her mouth, her neck. If he got his tongue between her legs, he shifted in his seat. "Did something happen that I, as your chaperone, should know about?" Asriel's dry question dragged Cassian from his rising arousal. From the amusement on his brother's face, he knew Az could not only scent that arousal, but see it on his face.
"No,"
Cassian grumbled.
He'd never hear the end of it if he admitted what he'd done.
He'd found his pleasure, and Nesta had not. He'd never allowed such a thing to happen. But he'd come hard enough to see stars, and only then realized she had not. That he'd embarrassed himself, that he'd left her unsatisfied, and if it was the only taste of her he'd ever get, he'd monumentally fucked it all to hell. And then there'd been her parting shot, blasting what was left of his pride into shards. "Quick off the mark," she'd purred.
like what they'd done hadn't meant anything. He knew it was bullshit. He'd felt her frantic need, heard her moans, and wanted to devour them whole. But that kernel of doubt took root. He had to make it even somehow. Had to get the upper hand again. Asriel cleared his throat and Cassian blinked.
What?
I said, are you two ready to head down to the river house?
Two?
He blinked through the cloud of arousal. Asriel chuckled, shadows skittering.
Did you listen at all last night?
No.
At least you're honest,
Asriel smirked.
You and Nesta are wanted down there.
Because of the shit with Elaine?
Asriel stilled.
What happened with Elaine?
Cassian waved a hand.
A fight with Nesta. Don't bring it up,
he warned, when Asriel's eyes darkened. Cassian blew out a breath.
I take it that's a no regarding the meeting topic, then?
It's about what I discovered. Rhys said he requires you both there.
It's bad, then.
Cassian surveyed the shadows gathered around Az.
You all right?
His brother nodded. Fine.
But shadows still swarmed him. Cassian knew it was a lie, but didn't push it. Az would speak when he was ready, and Cassian would have better success convincing a mountain to move than getting Az to open up. So he said, all right, we'll meet you there.
Chapter 20. Nesta could barely stand to be near Cassian as they flew over Valaris. Every glance, every scent of him, every touch while he carried her down to the river house grated on her skin, threatening to bring her back to last night when she'd been starved for any taste of him. Thankfully, Cassian didn't speak to her, barely looked at her, and by the time the sprawling manor along the river appeared, she'd forgotten to be annoyed by his silence. 2 weeks up at the house, and the city suddenly loomed large. Too loud. Too full of people.
This meeting will be fast,
Cassian promised as they landed on the front lawn, as if he'd read the tension in her body. Nesta said nothing, unable to speak with the churning in her stomach. Who would be here? Which of them would she have to face, to endure them judging her so-called progress? They'd probably all heard of her fight with Elaine.
Gods, would Elaine be present?
She followed Cassian into the beautiful house, barely noting the round table in the heart of the entry, crowned with a massive vase full of freshly cut flowers, barely noting the silence of the house. Not a servant to be seen. But Cassian paused before a landscape painting of a towering barren mountain, void of life yet somehow thrumming with presence. Snow and pines crusted the smaller peaks around it, but this strange bald mountain? Only a black stone jutted from its top. A monolith, Nesta realized, stepping closer. Cassian murmured,
I didn't realize Feyre had painted Ramiel.
The sacred mountain from the blood rite. Indeed, 3 stars faintly glowing in the twilight skies above the peak. It was a near-perfect real-life rendering of the Night Court's insignia.
I wonder when she saw it,
Cassian mused, smiling faintly. Nesta didn't bother to suggest Feyre might have simply peered into Rhysand's mind. Cassian continued onward, leading her down the hall without another word. Nesta steeled herself as he stopped before the study doors, the same room where she'd sat and received a public lashing, and then flung one open. Rhys and Feyre sat on the sapphire couch before the window. Asriel leaned against the mantel. Amryn had curled herself into an armchair, bundled in a gray fur coat, as if the nip in the air today were a blast of winter. No Elaine. No Morrigan. Feyre's gaze was wary, cold, but it warmed as she smiled at Cassian, who strode over to her and kissed her cheek. Or tried to. He said to Rhys,
really?
She's shielded even in here? Rhys stretched out his long legs, crossing one ankle over the other.
Even in here.
Cassian rolled his eyes and plopped onto the armchair beside Amarin's, surveying her fur coat and saying,
It's barely cold today.
Amarin's teeth flashed. Keep talking like that and it'll be your pelt I wear tomorrow. Nesta might have smiled had Amarin not turned toward her. Tension, thick and painful, stretched between them. Nesta refused to look away. Amarin's red lips curled, her bob of black hair gleaming. Feyre cleared her throat.
All right, Az, let's hear it.
Azriel folded his wings, shadows writhing around his ankles and neck.
Queen Briallen has been busier than we thought, but not in the way we expected.
Nesta's blood went cold. The queen who had leaped into the cauldron of her own free will, desperate to be turned young and immortal. She'd emerged a withered crone and immortal, doomed to be old and bent forever. Azriel went on.
In the week I've been watching her, I learned what her next steps are.
The way he hesitated before he said learned said enough. He'd tortured it out of someone. Many people. Nesta glanced at his scarred hands, and Azriel tucked them behind his back, as if he noted her attention.
Get on with it,
Amarin snapped, rustling in her chair.
The other queens indeed fled from Briallen weeks ago, as Eris said. She alone sits in the throne room of their shared palace. And what Eris revealed about Baron was true, too. The High Lord visited Briallen on the continent, pledging his forces to her cause.
A muscle ticked in Azriel's jaw.
But Briallen's gathering of armies, the alliance with Baron, is only the auxiliary force to what she has planned.
He shook his head, shadows slithering over his wings.
Briallen wishes to find the cauldron again, in order to retrieve her youth.
She'll never attain the cauldron, Amarin said, waving a hand gleaming with rings. No one but us, Miriam and Draken, know where it's hidden. Even if Briallen did uncover its location, there are enough wards and spells on it that no one could ever break through.
Briallen knows this,
Azriel said gravely. Nesta's stomach churned. Azriel nodded to Cassian.
What Vasa suspected is true. The Death Lord Kosche has been whispering in Briallen's ear. He remains trapped at his lake, but his words carry on the wind to her. He is ancient. His depth of knowledge fathomless. He pointed Briallen toward the Dread Trove, not for her sake, but for his own ends. He wishes to use it to free himself from his lake. And Briallen is not the puppet we believed her to be. She and Kosche are allies, he added to Cassian. You need to ask Eris whether Baron knows about this and the Trove.
Cassian nodded to the ensuing silence. Nesta found herself asking, What's the Dread Trove? Amarin's eyes glowed with a remnant of her power. The cauldron made many objects of power long ago, forging weapons of unrivaled might. Most were lost to history and war, and when I went into the prison, only three remained. At the time, some claimed there were four, or that the fourth had been unmade, but today's legends only tell of three.
The mask, Rhys murmured, the harp, and the crown.
Nesta had a feeling none of them were good. Feyre frowned at her mate. They're different from the objects of power in the Hewn City? What can they do? Nesta had tried her best to forget that night she and Amarin had gone to test her so-called gift against the horde within the unhallowed catacombs. The objects had been half imprisoned in the stone itself, knives and necklaces and orbs and books,
all shimmering with power, none of it pleasant. For the dread trove to be worse than what she'd witnessed?
The mask can raise the dead, Amryn answered for Rhys. It is a death mask molded from the face of a long-forgotten king. Wear it, and you may summon the dead to you, command them to march at your will. The harp can open any door, physical or otherwise. Some say between worlds. And the crown, Amryn shook her head. The crown can influence anyone, even piercing through the mightiest of mental shields. Its only flaw is that it requires close physical proximity to initially sink its claws into a victim's mind. But wear the crown, and you could make your enemies do your bidding, could make a parent slaughter their child, aware of the horror but unable to stop themselves.
And these things were lost? Nesta demanded. Rhys threw her a frown.
Those who possessed them grew careless. They were lost in ancient wars, or to treachery, or simply because they were misplaced and forgotten.
What does it have to do with the cauldron? Nesta pushed.
Like calls to like, Feyre murmured, looking to Amryn, who nodded. Because the trove was made by the cauldron, so might the trove find its maker. She angled her head.
Briallen was made, though. Can't she track the cauldron herself?
Amryn drummed her fingers on the arm of her chair.
The cauldron aged Briallen to punish her.
A glance at Nesta.
Or punish you, I suppose.
Nesta kept her face carefully blank. Amryn went on.
But I think you took something from it when you seized your power, girl.
Feyre looked toward Nesta, her voice soft as she asked,
What exactly happened in the cauldron?
Every image, thought, feeling pelted Nesta, smothered her exactly as she had to smother the rising power in her at her sister's question. No one spoke. They all just stared. Cassian cleared his throat.
Does it matter?
Everyone faced him, and Nesta nearly sagged with relief at the shift in their attention, even as something kindled in her chest at his words. His defense of her.
It'd help us gain insight, Feyre said.
We can discuss it later,
Cassian began, but Nesta straightened. They all halted, twisted toward her. Her mouth went dry. Nesta swallowed against it, praying they didn't see the shaking hands she tucked under her thighs. Her thoughts swarmed her, each memory screaming, and she didn't know where to start, how to explain it. Breathe. It calmed her mind whenever Cassian led her through their exercises, so she let herself inhale, then slowly exhale. Again. A third time. And into the silence, Nesta said, I wasn't aware of what I took, just that I was taking things the cauldron did not want me to have. It seemed fitting, given what it was doing to me.
There, that was all she could say, would say.
But Feyre nodded, eyes shining bright with something Nesta could not place. Feyre said to Amryn,
So, it's highly possible that the cauldron couldn't imbue Briallen with the ability to track it. All it could do was give Briallen the ability to track anything it made, a sorry shadow of the original gift.
The others nodded, and Nesta dared a look at Cassian, who gave her a soft smile, like in saying the few words she'd managed to get out, she'd somehow done something worthy. Her chest tightened. Had she done so many unworthy things that her scant contribution earned that much praise? Nesta forced herself to ignore the nauseating thought as Amryn continued.
If you were to gather all three objects, you could use the potency of their combined made essence to track down the cauldron. no matter where it is. Not to mention, gain 3 objects of terrible power, Azrael added grimly, capable of granting even a human army an advantage against the Fae.
Raise the dead, Cassian mused, his face tightening, any trace of that approving smile gone. And you'd have an unstoppable force able to march without rest or food. Open any door and you could move that army of the dead wherever you wished. And with unrestrained influence, you could make any enemy territory and its people bow to you.
Silence again filled the room. Nesta's heart thundered.
And all Kostche wants is to be free from his lake?
Rhys asked Azrael. But Amran answered, no one really knows the full scope of the Trove's powers, beyond freeing him from his lake. Kostche may very well know something about the Trove that we don't. Some greater power that manifests when all 3 are united. Rhys looked at Azrael, who nodded grimly.
What is a Death Lord?
Nesta asked into the silence. Their stares struck her like stones. Cassian answered, tapping the scar on the side of his neck.
I told you of Lanthus, the wound he gave me. He is literally deathless. Nothing can kill him. Kostche, too, cannot be killed. He's the master of his own death.
He lowered his hand from the horrible scar. The gleam in his eye suggested that his thoughts had turned toward her own powers. She ignored the thing that writhed within her in answer and confirmation, cold fire licking up her spine. Mercifully, Cassian went on.
They are Death Lords.
The words hung in the air. Rhys cursed.
I'd forgotten about Lanthus.
Cassian threw him a dry look, again tapping that scar.
I haven't.
To Nesta's horror, Amran shuddered.
Amran?
Feyre cleared her throat. So they are trying to find this dread trove in order to track down the cauldron for Briallen and likely free Kostche in the process. And launch a war with Baron as her ally. That would grant them whatever territories they wish, or give some to Kostche, depending on what bargain he strikes with Briallen, probably one to his advantage. Again, Briallen is well aware of Kostche's insidious influence, Azrael said. If her strings are being pulled, it is only because she's allowing it to achieve her own ends. Cassian said,
so we've got them on one front, and Baron here, ready and eager to go into war with Briallen so he might expand his own territory after the carnage halts.
Nesta's head spun. She had no idea any of this was occurring. She'd picked up hints, but nothing that had confronted her with the knowledge of the danger that faced them. To be on the brink of such disaster again? She shifted in her seat. Feyre asked Azrael, Briallen has not found the Dread Trove yet? Azrael shook his head. Not as far as I could tell. The Dread Trove was last rumored to be here in Prithian. That's all Kostche knows, apparently. We have that on our side, at least. Briallen won't risk coming over here, not yet. Even with Baron as an ally. And Kostche is bound to his lake. But they are readying Briallen to come, gathering her realm's greatest spies and warriors. There was already a host of them at the Queen's Palace. Why Briallen and Kostche took Eris's soldiers is something I still haven't figured out. He gestured to Cassian. You need to meet with Eris.
Cassian nodded. I will. But we'll have to shore up the borders, warn the courts, tell them of Baron's plan. To hell with secrecy. We'd expose Eris in doing that,
Rhys countered.
And lose a valuable ally,
he added when Cassian rolled his eyes.
Eris is a snake, but he's useful. His motives might be selfish and power-hungry, but he can offer us a great deal.
He frowned and said carefully,
I agree with Az. I want you to update Eris on this, as you promised.
Fine.
Cassian agreed. But what of warning the courts about the trove?
No, Rhys said. We'd only risk one of them going after it. Baron would send out every warrior and spy of his to find it first. That he hasn't done so already suggests he doesn't know about the trove. But we need Eris to confirm.
Thera asked, why didn't we look for the trove when we were hunting for the cauldron ourselves?
The book was easier to find,
Amryn said, and it has been 10,000 years since anyone used the trove. I assumed it was all at the bottom of an ocean.
So we find it, Cassian declared. Any ideas?
Made objects tend not to wish to be found by just anyone, Amryn cautioned. That they have faded from memory, that even I didn't think of them immediately in the fight against Highburn, suggests that perhaps they willed it that way, wanted to stay hidden. True things of power have such gifts.
You say that as if the objects have a sentience, Cassian said.
They do, Amryn said, storms drifting across her eyes. They were made in a time when wild magic still roamed the earth, and the Fae were not masters of all. Made objects back then tended to gain their own self-awareness and desires. It was not a good thing. Amryn's face clouded with memory, and a chill whispered over Nesta's spine.
Rhys mused, just as I'm able to alter a mind to forget, perhaps they have a similar gift.
But Briallen is made, Amryn said. Nesta's mouth again went dry. When Briallen was made, it likely removed from her the Dread Trove's glamour, for lack of a better term, recognized her as kin. Where she might have glanced over a mention of the items before and never thought twice, now it stuck. Or perhaps called to her, presented itself in a dream. All of them, all at once, looked at Nesta. You, Amryn said quietly, are the same. So is Elaine. Nesta stiffened.
If they're all enchanting you to forget, how is it that Azriel was able to remember and bear the information here?
Perhaps once you learn of it, recognize it, the spell is broken, Amryn said. Or perhaps the Dread Trove wants us to know of it now, for some dark reason of its own.
The hair on Nesta's arms rose. Cassian shifted in his seat. So we track down the Dread Trove. How?
Elaine spoke from the doorway, having appeared so silently that they all twisted toward her.
Using me.
Chapter 21. Nesta's head went silent as Elaine's words finished sounding in the room. Feyre had twisted in her seat, face white with alarm. Nesta shot to her feet.
No!
Elaine remained in the doorway, her face pale but her expression harder than Nesta had ever seen it. You do not decide what I can and cannot do, Nesta.
The last time we involved ourselves with the cauldron, it abducted you.
Nesta countered, fighting her shaking. She found the words, the weapons she sought.
I thought you didn't have powers anymore.
Elaine pursed her lips. I thought you didn't either. Nesta's spine straightened.
No one spoke, but their attention lingered on her like a film on her skin. You will not go looking for it,
Amryn said coolly. So you look for it, girl. Nesta turned to the small female.
I don't know how to find anything.
Like calls to like, Amryn countered. You were made by the cauldron. You may track other objects made by it as well, as Briallen can. And because you are made by it, you are immune to the influence and power of the trove. You might use them, yes, but they cannot be used upon you. A glance to Elaine. Either of you. Nesta swallowed.
I can't.
But to let Elaine involve herself, jeopardize her safety,
Amryn said. You tracked the cauldron. It nearly killed me. It trapped me like a bird in a cage.
Elaine said, then I will find it. I might require some time to reacquaint myself with my powers, but I could start today.
Absolutely not, Nesta spat, fingers curling at her sides. Absolutely not.
Why? Elaine demanded. Shall I tend to my little garden forever?
When Nesta flinched, Elaine said,
you can't have it both ways. You cannot resent my decision to lead a small, quiet life while also refusing to let me do anything greater.
Then go off on adventures, Nesta said. Go drink and fuck strangers, but stay away from the cauldron.
Feyre said, it's Elaine's choice, Nesta.
Nesta whirled on her, ignoring the warning flicker of a primal wrath in Rhys's stare. Keep out of this, she hissed at her youngest sister. I have no doubt you put these thoughts in her head, probably encouraging her to throw herself into harm's way.
Elaine cut in sharply. I am not a child to be fought over.
Nesta's pulse pounded throughout her body. Do you not remember the war? What we encountered? Do you not remember the cauldron kidnapping you, bringing you into the heart of Highburn Camp?
I do, Elaine said coldly. And I remember Feyre rescuing me.
Roaring erupted in Nesta's head. For a heartbeat, it appeared that Elaine might say something to soften the words, but Nesta cut her off, seething at the pity about to be thrown her way. Look who decided to grow claws after all, she crooned. Maybe you'll become interesting at last, Elaine. Nesta saw the blow land like a physical impact in Elaine's face, her posture. No one spoke, though shadows gathered in the corners of the room like snakes preparing to strike. Elaine's eyes brightened with pain. Something imploded in Nesta's chest at that expression. She opened her mouth as if it could somehow be undone. But Elaine said,
I went into the cauldron too, you know, and it captured me. And yet somehow, all you think of is what my trauma did to you.
Nesta blinked, everything inside her hollowing out, but Elaine turned on her heel.
Find me when you wish to begin. The doors shut behind her.
Every awful word Nesta had spoken hung in the air, echoing.
Feyre said to her, gratingly gentle, it wasn't an easy choice for me to ask Elaine to endanger herself like this.
Nesta twisted to Feyre. Can't you find the trove?
She hated each cowardly word, hated the fear in her heart, hated that in merely asking, she'd exposed her preference for Elaine.
You've got all that magic, and you were made yourself, even if it wasn't by the cauldron. You trained. You are a warrior. Can't you find it?
Again, that silence, but a different kind. Like a thunderhead about to break.
No, Feyre said quietly. I can't.
She looked to Rhys, who nodded, his eyes shining. Everyone watched Feyre now, but Feyre's attention remained fixed upon Nesta. I can't risk it.
Why?
Nesta snapped. Because I'm pregnant.
Silence fell. Silence, and then Cassian let out a whoop of such joy that it shattered the fraught silence into smithereens, leaping from his chair to tackle Rhys. They went down in a tangle of wings and dark hair, and then Amryn was saying to Feyre, light dancing in her eyes, congratulations, girl. Asriel stooped to press a kiss to Feyre's head, or an inch from it.
I knew that stupid shield wasn't just to practice something Helion taught you,
Cassian was saying, giving Rhys a smacking kiss on the cheek before turning to Feyre and grabbing her to him.
Rhysand relented on the shield enough that Cassian could wrap his arms around her, still laughing. And as Rhys dropped the shield, Feyre's scent filled the room. It was Feyre's usual scent, only something new, a smaller, softer scent, like a budding rose lay within it. Cassian laughed.
No wonder you've been a moody bastard, Rhys. I suppose we're about to learn a whole new level of overprotective.
Feyre glowered at him, then up at her mate. We've already had discussions about this. The shield is a compromise. Amryn smiled broadly.
What was his starting offer?
Feyre scowled. That he never leave my side for the next 10 months. The Fae took longer to grow children, Nesta had learned from poring over the books in the house's library during her initial weeks here. A month longer than a human pregnancy.
How far along are you?
Asriel asked, gazing at Feyre's still flat stomach. She slid her fingers over it, as if anyone's attention there made her wish to protect the child inside. 2 months. Cassian pivoted toward Rhys.
You've been hiding this for 2 months?
Rhys threw him an arrogant smile.
We thought you'd all guess it by now, to be honest.
Cassian laughed.
How can we guess when you've got her bundled in that shield? Moody bastard.